His.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing? I like those kids. They're my grandkids, in case you weren't aware of that. But it's amazing. All my grandkids look just like me. Why don't you turn to Isaiah chapter 5. I'm going to read verse 20. Isaiah chapter 5. Verse 20 says this. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. He says, woe unto them. That's the way God says they're damned. They're condemned. They're cursed. God's angry with them. God is against people who do that.
Amen.
Now this whole chapter is filled with a number of woes. In fact, throughout the Bible, you'll find a number of woes where God says, woe unto them that do such a thing. I don't know. You might think Jesus was a real sweet preacher, but you read Matthew 23 or some of the other places, if there's more than one place, but it's just a constant barrage of Jesus saying, woe! Woe to the hypocrites. Woe to the Pharisees. Woe to the liars. Woe to the religious people. Woe. He just gives woes down the line. Why? He's warning people of things that displease God.
Amen.
And I feel sorry for all the churches that this morning are meeting together and they have a preacher that never says woe.
Yeah.
Never talks about sin. Doesn't want to tell you what's wrong with the way you're living. And you know, I can understand why preachers do that, because preachers don't use the same, a lot of churches don't use the same method that we use as far as compensating people who serve God. And, their preachers are hired. They're hired by people in the church who have the money. And, those preachers have to sort of say things that don't get people riled up.
Right.
Otherwise they lose their jobs.
Yeah.
And you know, some preachers really do an admirable job of telling them the truth, even though they might get fired. And I appreciate that. I appreciate all of them that do that. But in this church, you can't fire us.
Amen.
You might be angry, but you can't fire us. So we just get to tell you whatever we think. We can tell you what the Bible actually says. And you might not like it, and you might just pack up your things and go to a different church, and that is your right. You absolutely have that freedom. But I'm telling you, my desire is to tell you the truth, not to please you.
Amen.
It's not my intention to please you and make you happy with me so that you'll keep me on as your pastor. You see what I'm saying? I feel sorry for churches that don't have anyone to stand behind the pulpit and say, woe unto you if you do this or that or the other thing. Because in the Bible we have the example of Jesus doing it, and also all the other preachers in the Bible. In fact, the word preach sort of has the connotation of being moralistic. You know, say, don't be preachy. You know, some people are preachy, or that popular singer says, Papa don't preach. What? Papa telling you? Hey, let me tell you something. Papa might be telling you what you ought to do.
Amen.
And what you ought not to do. And when you say, I don't want you telling me what to do, you might be the problem.
Right.
Somebody's got to tell you when you're wrong.
Amen.
Somebody's got to tell you when you're doing something immoral. And that's what preachers do. They stand up and preach and say, this is what God says about such and such a thing, right? And so God lists out a whole lot of things. He says, woe unto you if you do those things. In this chapter, he actually mentions people who go around accumulating stuff, just accumulating stuff, thinking that they're going to get to the point where, and he says, just woe unto you. Because it's all going to be going for nothing. You're going to lose it all. This was a prophecy of the destruction of Jerusalem and the destruction of Israel. Why? Because they had lived wrong. He criticizes. He says, woe unto them that drink till evening, until the wine inflames them. Yeah, woe unto the drug addicts and the drunkards.
Yeah.
The Bible says, woe unto them who hath woe, who hath misery, who hath trouble. He that looks at the wine too long. Yeah, and that's what it says?
Yeah.
Yeah, God's trying to tell you, stay away from that stuff.
Yeah.
You know where nearly all the murders happen? Around bars.
Yeah.
Or around drugs.
Yeah.
And it's true, I'm telling you the truth. You want to extend your life expectancy? Stay away from bars.
Amen.
That'll add 5 or 10 years to your life expectancy right there. All right. There's a lot of things that he talks about. Woe. Here he says, amongst all those things that he says are horrible, including political injustice and corruption, it's all right there in this chapter. And if you read the rest of Isaiah, you'll find a whole lot more. He criticizes with strong language, like woe to the idolaters. Yeah, woe to those that line up at whore houses. Oh, was that too plain of speech for you? I was preaching on the street one time and I just read the Bible. I was reading the Bible and it said whoremongers. And some guy got angry at me and said, my son is right here. He's a little kid. My son is right here. And he started effing me because I said the word whoremongers. I said, I just read it in the Bible. But don't you see, my son is right here. Yeah, well, you're the one using the F words.
Yeah.
Can't God speak plainly? Can't he just tell you what he's trying to tell you? You stand in line at whorehouses and that's a condemnable thing. It's a damnable thing. It's a woe unto you if you do it kind of thing. But in all of that, he mentions this too. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. In other words, woe unto you when you start switching words around and changing definitions and trying to make things sound better than they really are. Woe unto you when you try to make people who are living right the bad guys. And make those that are living wrong the good guys. Woe unto you because you've switched things around. You've tried to turn reality on its head. You're trying to justify your sin by criticizing people who are doing what God said. Now that's what he says. Woe, the same God that said woe unto the drunkards and the people who line up like troops at whorehouses. Woe unto them, yes. Woe unto them that change the words.
Amen.
Woe unto them that call things by a name that's not true. Woe unto them that don't care about truth or accuracy.
Right.
They just want things to sound better.
Amen.
Woe unto them.
Amen.
And boy, do we have it in our day.
Amen.
I'm going to give you 4 different examples. I say examples, categories of doing this. I think you'll recognize them immediately, but they've been around a long time. But it's gotten worse, folks. Let's just admit it. It's gotten worse. All this political correctness and everybody's trying to avoid this and avoid that. The first thing that comes to mind is euphemisms. You know what euphemisms are, right? It's the way of saying something sort of delicately. You know what a euphemism is. It's like when we say pass away instead of died. Sudden such a person passed away. Well, because he died is a little bit shocking. It's a little bit rough. You know, it's a little too frank. It's a little bit too brutal. So instead of saying he died, we say, well, he passed away. And that, there might be some value in that. You know, not to hurt people's feelings or not to force people's emotions to come up. You want them to be able to hold on to their emotions, right? So you don't want to be too forceful and dramatic, but also you don't want to be a liar. And you don't want to give false impressions. Euphemisms are okay up to a point, but there comes a point when they begin to be very annoying.
Yes.
And even wrong.
Right.
Euphemisms. Let me give you a few euphemisms. They say now, you're not supposed to say certain things around, I mean, it's about political correctness. You don't want to hurt people's feelings, right? So instead of calling somebody able-bodied, you call them non-disabled. I'm not sure I understand that. Instead of calling someone blind, you call them sight impaired. Instead of calling someone boring, you call them differently interesting. You liked that one, didn't you? That becomes inaccurate, actually. They're not interesting in any way at all. Instead of calling someone clumsy, you're supposed to call them uniquely coordinated. And hey, by the way, guys, these are serious. These people are serious. This isn't a joke. This is put out by companies trying to tell people how to address other people in that company. And they're saying, this is how you're supposed to say that. If you write a letter, you don't use this word, you use this other word. This is serious stuff in people's minds. But these are euphemisms. These are just like changing the words, even though the other word was just fine. And by the way, don't get your feelings hurt if somebody did not intend it to be an insult. Just don't. If nobody's trying to insult you, if they're just using words just the way they've always used the words, and they don't intend to insult you, or they're not even thinking about you, don't get outraged. Don't get offended. Let people speak. Why don't you pay attention to what people are really intending? If they hate you, well then sure, get a little bit offended. But maybe they don't hate you. Maybe they're not even thinking about you. Don't get outraged. Amen. If someone's homeless, he's residentially flexible. If someone's lost, he's geographically disoriented. If someone is a minority, I don't even know what that means. If someone is a minority, he's numerically challenged group. It's a numerically challenged group. That's a minority. Whatever. If someone is poor, you don't say poor, you say marginalized. If someone's in a prison cell, you don't call it a prison cell, you call it a custody suite. If they weren't serious, this would be just a really good joke, right? But these people are serious. They mean it. If someone is short, he's vertically challenged. That does not even make sense. If someone is promiscuous, they're sexually liberated. Old people are senior citizens. You've heard that one. A lie, you don't say lie or liar. It's misspeak. Someone misspoke. Someone who's ugly is unconventional looking. Well, okay. If someone is unemployed, he's involuntarily leisured. Used goods started to be called pre-owned goods, but now they say don't say pre-owned anymore. You have to say pre-loved. Wow. And somebody who's wrong is differently logical. Now they were serious. Why? I have no idea. But by the way, a rose by any other name? You ever heard that? No, it's not still a rose. Who said that? Smells still as sweet. That's Shakespeare, guys. Get up on your Shakespeare. A rose by any other name would still smell as sweet. Romeo and Juliet. All right. God uses euphemisms. Once in a while, not often. But for dead, he doesn't say passed away. He said gathered to his people. That's a euphemism. That's a way of saying something without being quite so blunt. Okay, I get it. But you realize that euphemisms can be a problem. And after a while, you get tired of people being so careful with all their speech. In fact, I'm tired of careful speech. I'm ready for somebody just to say what's on your mind. Just spit it out. Let me know what you really think. I can handle it. You think I'm submerged? That's fine. Just tell me. I don't mind. I don't want all the beating around the bush. You wear me out with your conversation. I'm serious. You know what? The Bible is constantly praising, at least the apostles were constantly praising, boldness of speech. Just saying what's on their mind. Just say it. There is a tendency of preachers, especially missionaries, they want to just avoid certain subjects. When I was a missionary in Mexico, a young missionary, I learned by going with other missionaries. I would go with them preaching. We'd go with them evangelism. I'd go with their to their churches. I did this for several years. Went with a lot of different missionaries, and I watched how they did things, and they thought I was just a little too blunt. So when I would preach, I would like say things that they say, they would come to me and say, look, you can't say things like that. You will get stoned. They will kill you. And so I tried to, you know, try to be more careful in what I would say. They would say, always never talk about the virgin. This, I was a preacher in Mexico, and there's a lot of people very devoted to the virgin in Mexico, especially one particular instance of the virgin's appearance. They call her the Virgin of Guadalupe, and this was especially important to Mexicans in their way of thinking. And this is very special to them, so don't ever mention that. And I got really depressed as a missionary. I was alone, and I was thinking, what am I doing here? And I realized, I'm wasting my time if I don't tell them what I know.
Amen.
So I just started speaking plainly. And every time I would preach, I would tell them exactly what I meant. I would not euphemize. I would just tell them, if you pray to the Virgin Mary, you're committing idolatry. And other missionaries soon stopped going with me anywhere. And that's their prerogative. They only answer to God. They don't answer to me. But I got to the place where I decided I was not going to pull my punches ever.
Amen.
I was going to say whatever the book said at that moment, whatever I felt inspired to preach, I was going to preach it just like I knew it without pulling any punches or euphemizing at all. And yeah, we did get stoned a few times. Yeah, we did get some people angry at us. But you know what I noticed is that God is willing to bless plain speech.
Amen.
And even Paul the apostle said, we have a hope in us that forces us to use great plainness of speech. We are just very hopeful in the power of the gospel that we can just tell you like it is.
Amen.
So I tell you, don't pray to the Virgin Mary at all. Especially don't pray to the little statuette painted called the Virgin of Guadalupe. That's a sin. The Bible says so many times. Does that offend people? You bet it offends people. People get mad all the time when you say that. But I didn't waste their time. I told them what I believed from the start. I've been with missionaries knocking on doors, and when they say, oh no, we're Catholic, the missionary would say, yeah, I'm Catholic too. I gotta tell you, I don't like dishonesty. But because you can use the word Catholic in more than one way, he was using it to say he was Catholic too, to try to, you know, become friends with them. And I realized I don't want to have anything to do with that.
Amen.
I want to tell people straight up what I am, what I believe, what the Bible says. Why? Because I have hope that God has power.
Right.
And he'll change people's minds. And he did. He changed many people's minds. Thousands of people's minds were changed by hearing the truth. And these folks are happy that we told them the truth. I think that's a very important point. Euphemisms detract from the truth. You ought to be very careful using them. Because many times they're inaccurate. Like many of those that I read, very inaccurate. Okay? There's another example of fudging the words, turning things on their head when it comes to language. There's another example. They call it rebranding. Changing your definitions or coming up with a better brand. I know you've seen a lot of these examples, and you know, some of them I can understand. For example, you remember, well, I guess you don't remember him. He was a long time ago. A fellow named Alfred Nobel. He was a Swedish businessman, an inventor. He actually invented dynamite. And he invented a bunch of other explosives, and he had a factory that built cannons and other kinds of armaments. This guy was the military-industrial complex of Sweden. And his brother died. They were both getting old. His brother died, and one of the newspapers thought it was him that died, And so they published an obituary of him, and they called him the merchant of death has died. The merchant of death has died. And it was a mistake. They had to retract it. He hadn't died. At least it was a greatly exaggerated claim that he had died. And so one way or the other, he got to reading that obituary, and he realized how he was going to be remembered. He had become very wealthy by creating armaments that kill people. Even though there was many other uses for these things, like dynamite was used in mining and many other good reasons. But he knew that he was going to have a bad reputation, because when he died, they were going to call him the merchant of death. So he took all of his money before he died, and he invested it in a fund which offers prizes to whoever's done the best thing for humanity during that year. And this is called the Nobel Prizes, or the Nobel Prize Fund. There's a Nobel Peace Prize, there's a literary prize, and there's prizes in chemistry and physics and other things. So it's interesting. Now when we think of the word Nobel, we don't think dynamite. We don't think merchant of death. When we hear the word Nobel, we think of prizes for excellence. You know, great literature, people are helping humanity. All of us do that. This is just normal. He rebranded himself 6 months before he died when he wrote his new will. Left his family out of his will. Bless his heart. Came as a surprise to them. Interesting, no, that you can rebrand yourself. You can make people think differently about you by just changing some words. That's called rebranding. And so other people have decided to do that too. Like homosexuals. They rebranded themselves about 50 years ago. They started calling themselves gays. Actually, they say that's bad now. You're not supposed to use gay as a noun. He's not a gay. He's just gay. You know what gay means? Happy. Lighthearted, merry, right? That's what it means. But if you go to the dictionary now, the first definition is homosexual. They did it. They rebranded themselves. But let me ask you something. Is it accurate?
No.
Are homosexuals happier than more other people?
No.
Does homosexuality make people happy?
No.
No. All those things are wrong. It's a false advertisement. It's a false rebranding. But it's an effective rebranding, because nowadays people use the word, and that's the word. That's what it means now in our language. You have to be very careful using the word in its original sense. I've known people who were named gay, and they had to change their name because it was a constant snickering. Well, why do people snicker? Because there's something wrong with homosexuality, folks. I'm not making this up. This is, not only does the Bible say that, but even your own conscience tells you that.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
And even their conscience tells them that.
Right.
Everybody's conscience tells them there's something wrong with it. Anybody who's ever used an extension cord knows there's something wrong with it.
Amen.
This is not rocket science. This is something pretty simple to see. It's disgusting. It's something that is against our nature, and it's against the design. It's dysfunctional. It's extinctive. It's unhealthy.
Amen.
So it's a lie. They rebrand it and they call it something else. This happens all the time in our modern language because people know the ability to rebrand themselves. And they will call us haters just for telling the truth about it. And all I've said is the truth about it. There's no room for hate, people. Not in Christian. There's no room for hate. I mean, I understand hate has its place, but there's no room for just hating people just because they're sinners like you. Come on, wake up. You're a sinner. We're all sinners. We don't have a right to hate people or categorize them or label them or say that they're not worth dealing with because they have a certain sin. I do not espouse that at all. But it's a lie when they rebrand themselves.
Right.
You know, the atheists and unbelievers, the skeptics, the anti-Bible critics, they've realized in America they are in a bad way because people automatically assume they don't really have moral guidance in their life. And it's true, they don't. They have to live the morality of somebody else's philosophy, because there is no moral philosophy in atheism. I mean, it's the law of the jungle, I guess. There's no other law. But they realized that they had a bad perception among Americans, so they decided they would try to rebrand themselves, so now they want you to call them the Brights. Seriously. They want you to call them the Brights. It hasn't caught on. It hasn't gone viral. Nobody calls atheists the Brights. One thing is because it's obviously not true.
Absolutely.
Atheists are not brighter than other people. They're really not. Just watch any debate on YouTube between an atheist and some Christian counterpart, and you will see. They might not always win the debate. I don't know. You can make your own judgment on that. But it's clear they're not smarter. They're not smarter. It's a lie. It's a false rebranding. Oh, yeah. You ever heard of a love child? You know what a love child is? It's what they used to call a bastard. That's not a cuss word, folks. It just means a child born not legitimately, out of adultery. Yeah? They call it now a love child. Why? Well, because children grow up with a stigma. Nobody wants to be considered that, and it is. It's an embarrassing stigma. So they just try to give it a better sound to it, right?
Yeah.
But is it possible it's causing some other problems? Yeah, you know what a baby mama is?
Yeah.
Or a baby daddy? It means somebody you got together with and now they got your kid. In other words, you're trying to make it sound not quite so bad.
Right.
But folks, it's bad.
Amen.
That's bad stuff. Hey, there's no more deadly sin than fornication. That's the most deadly sin humans commit. It kills millions of people every year. Fornication kills millions of people every year. And it puts more people in poverty than any other cause in America. Fornication. Unwed motherhood. It's a horrible evil. But people want to change the words so it doesn't sound so bad. So it's more acceptable. And if it's more acceptable, it'll be more done. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is.
Amen.
They tell you now not to call anybody your husband or wife. You're allowed to call them your spouse, but they discourage even calling them spouse. They don't want the gender thing. Who knows why? They don't want the gender thing. They want it just to be unidentified, spouse. But now they say use partner or significant other. And I work for Bexar County, and they have on their website or their thing where they give you your benefits, you get, they call it a plus one. You can have your benefits, and then you can add a plus one. And that plus one can be anybody who lives with you and shares expenses with you. And the reason why is because it just got too complicated. It's no longer about husband and wife. You know what's happened here is they've changed the words. They've changed the value system. They've turned things on their head. And yeah, I realize they've got their reasons, but it's a reason that is fundamentally at odds with God. And it's fundamentally at odds with the Bible and Bible believers, and fundamentally at odds with common sense. Rebranding. There's a third example, categorical example of this changing words, calling evil good and calling good evil, turning things on their head. And that's what I call bait and switch. It's where they start talking about one thing, and then when it gets a little bit difficult, they switch it. Start talking about something else. I'll give you an example. Evolution and natural selection. Evolution and natural selection. In case you're not sure, those are opposites. They're exactly the opposite thing. Evolution means new information coming into the DNA and causing a new organ or a new function or a new organism. Something like that. New information coded into the DNA. That's what evolution is. That's what the claim is. That we all came, we started off as rocks. And now look what we are, multicellular, incredible animals. And it all came by pure accidental evolution, where code just got somehow written and added to code, and random mutations or whatever, just code just keeps on adding and building until we have a huge DNA database that gives us all of our organs, our lungs, and our skin, and our eyes, and our brain. All this stuff comes from DNA code that came from nothing. Just gradually improved. I had a guy, I asked him, I said, well, do you have an example of evolution? And you know, he gave me an example of natural selection. In other words, where animals get separated out and they start losing certain characteristics and they all become sort of similar, and those animals start breeding only amongst themselves, and after a while, they're all a certain way. Yeah, you know, like the black moths during the Industrial Revolution. Used to be white moths, but during the Industrial Revolution, all the coal being burned, all the walls become black, all the forests become black, and the black moths take over. It's the same exact moth. But folks, that's not evolution. That's natural selection. Natural selection gets rid of DNA code. It snips it, it cuts it, it just disappears, because they keep interbreeding and the DNA code disappears. And those animals can no longer produce the other pigmentation or the other ability. That's called natural selection. It's getting rid of DNA code. Evolution is adding DNA code. Natural selection is getting rid of DNA code. But in the textbooks, the only examples of evolution they give is examples of natural selection. Now listen, if this is somebody you're just talking to and they come up with this, they try to give you an example, they're just simple. They're not trying to deceive you. But when they put it in a textbook, these are experts and they're lying.
Right.
They are lying. They know that there's not one example of evolution they've ever found. Not one. Challenge them to show you one. Show me an example of evolution that we know is evolution. Not one. All they can see is extinctions and animals dividing up and losing their abilities to have other kinds of, to be more, have more varieties. That's all. It's just examples of natural selection all the time. What this is dishonesty in the scientists.
That's right.
They are liars. They use the bait and switch. Happens all the time. How about interchanging the words love and sex? I heard a lady say, I can't believe people have to march to defend who they want to love. Talking about the pride parade. People have to march to defend who they want to love. But that's not what it's about. I say you can love anybody. In fact, you ought to love everybody.
Amen.
But you shouldn't have sex with everybody.
Amen.
That's the difference. Having sex with somebody is a whole lot different than loving them.
Amen.
There's a different word, they're a different concept, but they will bait and switch these all day long. They will never say what truly is the issue, because they can't be honest about it. The moment they're honest about it, all of a sudden their argument loses its weight. They're fundamentally against God, so they have to change the words. Woe unto them, God says.
Yeah.
How about abortion and women's health?
Yeah.
People who are in favor of abortion, at least used to, they've started to get more bold nowadays. It's amazing to me that they're actually getting more bold, and they're actually advocating killing children the day of birth. They're actually passing laws in certain states that give a woman the right to kill her baby the day of birth. If you kill a baby the day it's supposed to be born, you are a murderer.
Yes.
I'm not saying there are no exceptions to the abortion rule. I do not know. There are some very difficult gray areas. I understand that. But I can tell you this, a viable baby that's getting ready to be born and you kill it, If you're a doctor, you're a murderer. If you're the mama, you're the murderer. If you're the legislator, you're a murderer.
Here we are.
It's a bait and switch. They do it all the time, constantly changing the words. There's one more. And that's where you upend the actual value system. You reprioritize what's important. You think what used to be important is no longer important to you. I can tell you one thing. Nowadays, reality is not as important as emotions. Reality is not nearly as important as how you feel. So if you're born a boy, but you don't feel like it, you think you can just change and become a girl by dressing like one, and you want to force everybody else to accept what you say. I'm sorry, but that's just reordering your priorities. Your feelings don't matter nearly as much as your reality.
Amen.
It's just not as important. I mean, listen, this is just common sense. It is not as important how you feel, because day to day you can feel different. And when they do this to little kids, and they actually do sex reassignment surgeries to 16-year-olds. In fact, they can do it in some states without parental consent. They can actually mutilate a child because of how that child feels. You know what God says? Woe. Woe unto them. You reorder your priorities, saying your emotions are more important than your reality. I would tell you this is not true. Your emotions are not as important as your reality. And how you feel on any given day about anything is not as important as what is true and what is real.
Amen.
It's not as important. How you feel is so much less important. And I'm not saying it has no importance. Sure, all of us want to feel some self-esteem. All of us want to feel good. We all would like to feel good. But surely you recognize that so what is real is more important than how you feel. They used to tell us sticks and stones might break your bones, but words will never hurt you. That's what they used to say. Now they say you can beat somebody to a pulp and then you could probably get away with it. But if you call them the wrong pronoun, you'll get fired. You might go to jail. This is true in our day. You know what God says? He says, whoa. Why do you keep changing words on me? You call evil good and you call good evil. You say something sweet when it's really bitter. And you call it bitter if it's really sweet. And God gives you good advice and good words and good laws and things that will help you in all of your life. And you say that that's evil, that's hate. No, no. God tells you to avoid fornication. And you say, that's hate. Really? It's hate when I tell you should not fornicate? It'll help you. It'll bless you. It'll be a blessing all your life if you'd learn how to have some continence, a little bit of self-control, and decide to marry and take care of a family. That is a beautiful thing. But fornication, no. The Bible says marriage is honorable in all, and the bed is undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. God will judge. Now, it's true that we are sort of in the minority nowadays, at least in South Texas. I don't know where else, but we're kind of in the minority. We are the kind of people that say things that just are not really politically correct. And so now we're kind of looked down on, and we're considered hate mongers. We are considered hate groups because we just believe the Bible. We're considered hate groups. In fact, we are listed as hate groups on their lists of hate groups. Because we're fundamentalist Christian, we believe the Bible. And so basically you have a choice. You can either go along with what they say, how they've changed the rules, or you can stick with God.
Amen.
And begin to suffer for
Amen.
It.
Amen.
And make no mistake, you're preparing to suffer for it.
That's right.
Now.
Yeah.
It's coming.
Yeah.
And the only reason I know this, I am not a prophet, God doesn't speak to me in the night in dreams so that I can tell you what's going to happen in the future. I do not know. But I have seen what's happened in the past, and I see that there are preachers in jail in Canada. There are preachers in jail in other countries, in Europe, because they followed the Bible.
Right.
And it's coming to America soon.
Amen.
You know what God says? Woe
right.
unto them. Woe unto them. Let me tell you something. You need to get off that train.
Yes.
You know what the train consists of? I'll tell you. They've reprioritized everything. First of all, what was important was equality. But now it's equity, right? That's sort of a political fight. But they have changed their priorities. It's no longer about equality. They want to make things right by being unequal now. I understand why. It's just that's different. And before that, it was justice. Justice was important. And then it became equality. Equality is more important than justice. These priorities keep changing. It just keeps going down the line. It becomes different. Used to, you were supposed to be discriminating. Not on racial grounds. That's a horrible. Racial discrimination is a horrible thing. It should have never happened, but it did, and it's wrong, and we ought to all admit it's wrong. Just stop that. We're not holding anything against anybody for the color of their skin or their ethnic background or their religion or anything else. That's not Christian. That's not even good. We don't do that. But discrimination means you decide who you're going to associate with and who you're not. Right? You're supposed to be discriminating. I would tell you to be discriminating. Young ladies, be discriminating about what husband you want. Don't just take the first young boy that shows up. Yeah, be a little bit more discriminating. Say, no, get a job first. Right? Try to get in good with my dad first. And you young men, the same thing. Don't just pick the first girl in a miniskirt. You might be real disappointed after a little while when you find out how vain she is. Discrimination first. But then they say, no, we need to be tolerant. We've got to tolerate everybody. You've just got to be tolerant of people who are of different persuasions. You got to be tolerant of fornicators, and you got to be tolerant of homosexual, and you have to be tolerant of abortion, and you got to be tolerant of just everybody who's got an opinion. Let's just be tolerant of everybody, and everybody can be tolerant. And the only people that we cannot tolerate are Christians being intolerant. Those are the people we cannot tolerate. Christians. But everybody else we can tolerate. That's what was important for a little while. It's already gone past that. Now they demand acceptance. Oh no, it's not just toleration. You got to accept it. You've got to acknowledge that it's okay. They want it to be normalized. They want everything to be normalized. They just want you to say, no, it's okay. And that's why Hollywood is trying to normalize all of these deviant behaviors. And they are. They're normalizing it all the time. And it's wrong and it's false, but that's the train you're on. You just keep going down those tracks, and after they have it normalized, then they want approval. You have to approve it. You've got to admit they're just as righteous as you. You can't discriminate at all. It's got to be approved. And if you will not vociferate, if you will not vocally say, I approve of that behavior, you'll be fired. I'm not exaggerating, people. You a Christian? You're on that train. You're on that train. They're forcing you to be on that train. And you know what God says? Whoa. Get off the train.
Amen.
You need to stop conforming to this. You say, but if I stop conforming, it's going to cost me. That's right. It's going to cost you. It could cost you your job, and boy, I know it is convenient to have a good job, to have plenty of money, to be able to pay your mortgage and have a nice car. All that is really nice. But what happens when God says, woe? Woe unto these. Woe unto anybody who gets on that train. Woe unto the people who call evil good and good evil. Woe unto the people who change the words and change the value system. Woe unto the people who turn things on their heads. They call bitter sweet and sweet bitter. They just turn everything on their heads. Woe unto them that use language to cause the problem. To make you an evil person when all you're doing is standing up for what God said.
Amen.
You got to get off the train. You have to stop conforming. You got to say what's true. If you don't, you're just tolerating, you're just accepting, you're just normalizing. Eventually, you'll be approving. I know this is hard.
Amen.
This is hard. The value system used to care what God thought.
Yeah. Right.
Everybody should have cared what God thought. And there was a time when society made their laws and did their things according to what God thought. But now it's sort of an unpopular idea, what God thought. Now it's all about what humanity thinks. It's about popularity. It's about what the crowd thinks. And thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, the Bible says. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil.
Amen.
And so God is saying, you need to reorder your priorities so that it's me that matters what you think.
Amen.
What does God think? God says, woe. Because they call good evil and they call evil good. And you have a choice. You're a Christian. You don't have to get on that train. You don't have to go down that hill, gaining speed all of your life till you hit the cliff at the bottom.
Amen.
Because there's a cliff coming and it's God. And he says, what I say is what matters.
Amen.
And what he says is what matters. He's the creator. He knows all about sex.
Amen.
He knows what it's about. He knows the difference between male and a female. He created them, male and female, after his desire, after his design. And somebody doesn't like that, then don't get on the train with them. You gotta stop conforming to this way of thinking. I don't think there's any moment to lose. I don't think we've got a few years. I think we gotta start right now being frank and open about true and not true. I work with all women. In my office, it's all women. And they all know that I'm a sexist. And I tell them I'm a sexist. I do not believe the sexes are equal. Sorry, I don't. And I know they're not. I mean, feminists are proving it all the time, complaining about the trans women that are competing against them. Well, if you're equal, who cares? If you're equal, why are you worried about it? Let the trans women, you can beat them, right? You're equal. No, you're not equal. Come on. Physically, you're not equal. There's a whole lot of differences. I absolutely believe we ought to give everybody the maximum they can have. I want everybody to flourish. But don't create them as equal. They're not equal. Some days you're going to have to just stand up and say, no, this is ridiculous. This has gone beyond the pale. This does not make sense, because it doesn't. And by the way, if you would say that, you'd be amazed how other people would agree with you. You're not alone, but you feel alone because you're still on that train. Get off the train. If you're not a Christian, you're not sure. Let me tell you something. You're on the wrong train. God is saying, I'm going to win, and you need to get off that train and follow me.
Amen.
It's kind of like recovering your common sense. It's like getting out from under this shadow of darkness. Because they call darkness light and they call light darkness.
Yeah,
and you get out of that shadow and you start following God and you walk in the light as he is in the light. God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And you follow him and you're walking in the light and you have fellowship with God. And in the end, God's going to bless you and going to save you. But there is no middle ground.
Amen.
You can't steal second with one foot on first. Be nice if you could. You might be a little lanky. See, some of you got that. But you can't do it. If you're going to be a Christian, you just got to be all the way Christian. You got to get off that other train. You got to start following God and whatever God says and this common sense that God gives us. Because God says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. that put sweet for bitter and bitter for sweet, call light darkness and darkness light, says woe unto them. They got it bad and they're going to be damned. They're going to lose their souls because they're willing to change the definitions and change the words. God says, get away from them. Step away from them. Come out from among them, my people, and be ye separate, he says. Amen. And that's what God's telling you to do.
Amen.
Step away.
Amen.
Just say, no, I'm not having anything to do with that nonsense anymore. Amen. I'm just going to tell the truth the way it is. No more changing the words. I would not call a homosexual gay. I won't do it. That's going to offend some people. And if they ask me, I'll tell them it's a sin.
Amen.
It's a sin. It'll damn your soul to hell. You got to repent. You'd be amazed how somebody who's completely committed to that nonsense has a hard time letting go of it to save their soul. But if you want to be saved, you got to let go of it. You got to give God your life and let him determine what is right and what is wrong.
Amen.
And you'll be on his side.
Amen.
God says, take up your cross and follow
yes,
me.
Amen.
If that means jail, okay. It means jail. It means you lose your job, okay. The Bible says over there that that beast, that antichrist, that man of sin is going to make it so that you can't even buy or sell unless you take his mark. Yeah. Don't take his mark. You'd be better off starving to death. You'd be better off watching your children starve to death than getting on that train.
That's right.
You got to make a decision. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. You get off that train and give your life to Jesus Christ and it'll change you and it'll give you eternal life and you'll be on the right side of God.
Amen.
Even if everybody else hates you. But I can tell you, God is worth serving.
Amen.
He's worth following.
Yes,
and he is going to win.
Amen.
He's never lost the battle.
Amen.
Lord, I ask you to bless this congregation. If there's someone here that does not know you as Savior, I ask you to give them the courage to step out and give their life to you. You do that, Lord, because you're the powerful one. And Lord, we'll try to tell the truth as long as we live. I ask you to bless us in it and be gentle with us and protect us. I ask you to take care of us today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Come back tonight. We have the Lord's Supper at 7 o'clock.
Amen.